Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Planet Eclipse podcast. Today, myself, Sean, will be joined by Morgan, aka DJ Buttstuff Barbie, to talk about the fabulous new upcoming release from our very own DJ Buttstuff Barbie. We're going to be going into all the specifics and just give you a real rundown of what is going on with the project from start to finish.
And this isn't going to be just like a regular sort of interview. This will actually be Sean and I talking about the project in depth, because while I am the releasing artist, Sean was also a major help in the creation of the record.
Yes, though it is Morgan who has his artistic name on the project, I did do a lot of writing, which was judged and changed, of course, in the final versions of these things. But we'll get into that. So earlier today, March 5th, the track list for the EP Roadhead was officially announced.
That's right. I put out the lead single Roadhead along with the EP announcement, the track list, the whole shebang, all the secrets about the project are out so far.
Right, so why don't you read off the track list for our listeners?
So the first track opening the EP is Roadhead, and the fun thing about this song is that the single version was actually shortened by just shy of a minute, so listening to the first track again, you'll get to hear a little more of that. And then followed by my debut single, Yosemite. And then the new tracks, we have number 3 is Truck Stop, which is the first song on the EP that Sean helped co-write, along with the Route 69 interlude, which flows into Beach Please. And then it is closed with probably my favorite track on the record, Mile High Club.
Yeah, and I think it's also probably my personal favorite track. But we won't get into specifics on why, but you'll just have to listen for when that comes around. So obviously, by this point, people have already heard Yosemite and Roadhead, but let's get into it on some of the other tracks. Let's start with Truck Stop. So Truck Stop started when Morgan and I were talking about kind of the direction where Buttstuff Barbie was going at this point. Now, by the time that Truck Stop started to be written, there were 3 songs made, Yosemite, Roadhead, and one that I can't talk about yet because it's not out, but it's also not on the EP, so. But basically, I just had this idea that we needed a song about truck stops, because it's such like a classic part of the American Western experience as far as like traveling by road in the modern day. And that was kind of the idea behind the EP as a whole, is like a road trip.
Yeah. When you came to me with the idea, when you messaged me and you were like, hey, like I started writing for this song called Truck Stop, I was like, why didn't I think of that? Like, it's such an obvious choice that it somehow went completely over my head. And you took a really interesting kind of twist on it, because you were really focused on like why someone would want to go to that truck stop, and plot twist, it's little old me.
Yes, the conceptual version that I sent you was definitely in the same vein as what eventually ended up going on the EP. But there were a few lyrical changes that were made in the end, and I think ultimately for the better, because it flows more now.
Yeah, the original lyrics, I mean, they were really good and they really set up a story, but I think as I was like producing the track and not only kind of trying to like fit the phrasing to match the instrumental that I was working with, but also just everything else that I had written, I kind of wanted to rewrite some of your lines to kind of contextualize everything else a little better and make it all kind of fit right. But yeah, it turned out really well, even though it took me, I'd say, what, like 3.5 weeks to finally get it right.
Yeah, I think that's about how long it took. That one had a lot of different versions, and there were a couple of times where you just said like, I can't get this one right, I like something is not clicking here, and you kept sending me like slight changes on it, and I'm like, oh, that's not quite it. And then eventually you got to the final version, and I was like, this is the one. This is the one. It was obvious immediately.
Yeah, and the craziest thing about that is, like, the demo that I had right before that one, literally all I did was I made some slight lyrical changes that you had suggested that worked wonders, and then I switched out, like, I switched the placement of two of the guitar tracks. The guitar track that you'll hear in the bridge was originally there in the second verse and vice versa. And for some reason, switching those two tracks along with like tweaking like two or three different lines, the whole track just suddenly clicked better. It was the strangest thing. And I can't believe that it took me so long when that was all it needed to make it work.
Yeah. And it's, this is a fun part of the creative process that I think we all kind of discover as we learn new things, that like sometimes when you're just like starting out at something, you'll have a piece of work that doesn't feel quite complete, but you don't know exactly how to complete it. And then eventually you'll just stumble upon something that totally fixes it and makes it perfect. And I think you achieved that here.
Yeah, it got to a point like kind of midway through the process where I thought, you know, I kind of just want to cut this one. Like, I feel like it's never going to work. I can't quite get what I need, because I knew that it was in the right direction, but I just couldn't find that specific thing that I needed to make it tick. And I really just kind of wanted to give up on it. Like, I was like, no, like, it's just not working. But I knew that you kind of had a soft spot for this track, because it was one of the first ones that you threw at me. And you also just really seemed to love the concept. So I was like, no, I have to at least try to complete this, you know? And if I put all this effort into it and it still is not working, then we'll make the decision to cut it. And I'm glad that I stuck with it, because the final product is really great.
Yeah, I think it is really kind of a centerpiece for the concept of the EP as a whole, because again, we wanted to go for those like deserty road trip southwestern kind of vibes, and I think this one sort of epitomizes that in the way that none of the others do quite so completely, perhaps.
Yeah, I think Roadhead and Truckstop both really catch the central theme of the EP really well, but Truckstop really much more so, just kind of explains it all a little bit, you know?
Well, it has that like grittiness to it that I don't know if Roadhead has quite to the same degree.
Yeah, Roadhead is sort of a lot smoother, a lot hazier. Like, it really does feel very like beachside, whereas Truckstop is like that nitty gritty, like you've been on the road for hours and you're in the middle of the desert and you pull off at this little truck stop, and it really does have that kind of, especially in the bass line, it kind of has that grunge to it that it really needs.
Yes, absolutely. So after that, let's talk about Route 69.
This was another one that you came to me with. And it's something that it's a little more left field, but I feel like it eventually became something that we absolutely needed on the EP, because Beach Please and Truck Stop are two completely different tracks. Side by side, there's no way that those two tracks work. So having that interlude there that not only connects those two tracks, but also kind of shifts the sort of vibe and the story of the EP into where it needs to go by the end, it really became a crucial track that I didn't think we were going to need when you first said, hey, what if we did something like this? And that was actually the last track that I finished.
Yes, it was. I remember towards the beginning of the process, your idea for an interlude was there, but you had wanted to call it On the Radio. And it was a similar concept to what ended up coming into Route 69, but it was a different take on it, I would say. And I think we developed it a little more in the final version of Route 69.
Yeah, I forgot about the whole On the Radio thing, actually. But now I get why you kind of leaned the direction of Route 69 the way you did. And I guess that little intro bit that I did is kind of a coincidence now. But yeah, I did originally plan for something a little more like lighthearted and just kind of like, you know, just like a cutesy little interlude in the middle of it. Because, you know, why not? But then you kind of wrote up this whole little bit that fits everything a lot better, and it gives it the direction that it needs to get where it's going.
there's like a, like, I'll spoil it a little bit. There's like kind of a local news vibe to the segment of Route 69.
Yeah.
And it's, I basically wrote that wholesale and sent the files to Morgan, and he was like, okay, well, like, this is perfection as is, and ended up not actually touching it.
No.
That part, at least. But the first opening part of the track is the part that Morgan wrote wholesale, like, completely independently of me. And I think the stitching of them together really helps the transition between the two tracks, Truck Stop and Beach Please.
Yeah, the intro part that I wrote is a lot more tongue-in-cheek, and it's, you know, it's a very obvious, like, just kind of DJ Butt Stuff Barbie throwaway line, and it transitions really nicely, especially with like all the sound effects and everything, into what you wrote, which is a lot more on the serious side, even though it does have kind of some comedic bits to it. It is a little more serious because it has to tell such a crucial part of the story that we've been building this whole time. But yeah, stitching those two together was really good. And it helps everything just flow so much nicer.
Yeah, and on that note, let's get into Beach Please.
This is yet again another one that you sent me. The combination, the sequence of Truck Stop Route 69 interlude and then Beach Please, you sent me all three of those tracks.
Yes. Well, I would say that perhaps more correctly, I suggested the concept of this song, and then it was kind of developed more by you than by me. Because for this one, I didn't really give you more lyrics than just the chorus.
Yeah, you wrote the complete chorus, even though it's only four lines, but you wrote the whole chorus, and then you kind of talked about the general concept of it, about kind of searching for a happy place kind of thing. And I remember writing that. I wrote that like in a single sitting. Like, I think I wrote the whole thing in like 10, 15 minutes. I also think I was drunk. I think that was the night that I got drunk, because I had like, it was weird because I finished Roadhead and Yosemite, and then I spent so long working on Truck Stop, and then the day that I finally got that right and sent you the final demo and you said, yeah, this is it, I remember getting drunk that night, knocking out Beach Please, making the instrumental demo for Mile High Club, and then we like kind of tweaked like Route 69 a little bit. Like, we kind of did literally the last four tracks of the EP like very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we spent like almost a month getting everything else together, really, and just like figuring out what this EP even was.
Yeah, I remember like working on Truck Stop and thinking, okay, like I could probably have this finished by like the end of March, because I thought that every one of these tracks was going to take me so long to finish. But then I started working on Beach Please, and it was like everything just clicked. Everything that I needed to do for this EP suddenly fell into place, and I wrote Beach Please really quickly. And I already had the full instrumental demo made, and that was something that I had made up, I want to say, around the same time that I was working on Roadhead. Like, I was just kind of messing around with some stuff, and I made it, and I didn't send it to you when I made it, but I remember when you came to me with the idea for Beach Please, I was like, wait a minute, I have something, and I sent you the instrumental, and you were like, yeah, this is totally the vibe. And having that, like, immediately ready, like, I used all the same tracks. Like, I really didn't change anything other than just, like, where everything was placed, and that really helped kind of progress that track along as fast as it did, because we just kind of had it all in place already.
Mm-hmm. And within the context of the EP, I think this one is important because it is the only really like softer song amongst the six.
Yeah, I remember we were joking a while back about like, how are we ever gonna write like a DJ Butt Stuff Barbie deep cut? Like, what is she gonna be sad about? And then I want to say like a week or two later, you came to me with the idea for that, and I was like, wait a minute, this is that deep cut that we were joking about. Like, we're actually doing this. At the time, you know, because you really only sent me a chorus and like a vague idea of what we thought it was going to be, I didn't really think too much on it for a while, until I finally was like, after I finished Truck Stop, I thought, okay, well, what are we going to work on next? And this was really the only song that we had anything made up for at that point. So I was like, okay, let me work on this one. And then it took shape really quickly. I just kind of thought, okay, hitchhiking and happy place, and then using that little chorus. And yeah, it took shape in a way that I didn't originally think that it would.
I think the vibe is very necessary in kind of bringing things down a little bit, because the energy is kind of like very fiery from Truck Stop and Roadhead and like even Route 69 a little bit. So then we get into Beach Please. We get that softer side, that like a little more introspective, I guess you could say, but also still like fun. Like this whole thing is like funny, you know, like there's no track that is like ultra serious just out of nowhere.
Yeah, this was definitely kind of the necessary, almost like sad track that kind of slows it down after, you know, the first three tracks all have this sort of overly sexual drive to them. And then coming off of the Route 69 interlude, this really was sort of a necessary kind of slow it down for a minute moment, because this was definitely a project that kind of needed that. It couldn't keep going 100% the whole time. But even in something that the concept feels very serious, but lyrically, there are still quite a few lines in there that lend to the humor that the rest of the EP has set up so far.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, it was definitely something that we needed, but it's still something that surprisingly fits very well in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. And with that, let's move on to Mile High Club. So this is one that you had sent me in like your first list of ideas. Basically, you said, I want to make a track that is either called International Pussy, Passport, or Mile High Club.
Yeah. After I finished Yosemite, I thought, okay, like, I kind of want to, like, keep this going. Like, I want to turn this into a full thing. So I remember in my head, like, conceptualizing this, like, four-track EP. Roadhead and Yosemite ended up being there, and then Mile High Club ended up taking shape. And there was one more that we ended up not using at all, and probably for the better. This was another one that I, for a long time, really didn't know what we were going to do with this. But then when I came to you and was like, okay, like, this is what I'm working on right now, you sent me a couple songs and you were like, maybe go for this kind of sound. This is the kind of thing that I feel like we need to end things off with. And I sat on that for a second, and I think not even 10 minutes later, I sent you an instrumental demo and we were like, this is it. This has to be it.
Yeah, it was very quick, the turnaround on that.
Yeah.
Wow, this was like barely a month ago that we did this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just like kind of bored one night, and I started like vibing with the concept of like, what are we actually going to do for Mile High Club? And I just started thinking about it and like, huh. So I had some ideas and I started stringing them together, and I was like, okay, I'm getting the groove of this. And then I sent you pretty much the first verse. You ended up using about like half of the verse that I wrote, pretty much straight up though, and then like all but one line of the chorus that I wrote.
Yeah, because I loved the way that you took it, because when I was thinking about like the whole Mile High Club thing, I was still leaning on the whole like Passport thing that I originally wanted to do, and I was like, oh yeah, like coming off of the whole like going around California, and you know, and then Beach Please happens, and I thought, okay, well, what if we kind of expand this outside of California now? What if, you know, DJ Butt Stuff Barbie is like, okay, I don't want to be in California anymore. Let's go all over the world and we'll, you know, have sex on a plane. But you kind of took it more in the direction of, what if she fucks the pilot? And I was like, okay, I didn't think about that. That's clever. You have this way of kind of, you know, going for the more obvious idea sometimes, when I, for some reason, don't think about it.
And it's really just like, I want to like revel in all of the creative potential that a space provides. And sometimes that does mean going for the more obvious things and kind of letting all these concepts stew and marinate a little bit, just until they kind of create nuggets of beauty and perfection and whatnot. And I think the chorus in particular, I am very proud of.
Oh yeah, the chorus of that song, I absolutely fucking love it. Like, I, not gonna lie, I listen to Mile High Club like a lot. it's just so good. Like, the production is just, I honestly, when I was making the track, I like kept snatching my own wig. Like, the more that I worked on it, the more that I built the instrumental, the more that I was plugging the lyrics into it, I was like floored that this was like a real thing that I was actually making, because I didn't think that I had it in me. Like, I didn't think this was something that we were ever going to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, for the couple of days after you started, like, working on Mile High Club in earnest, every message you sent me ended with, holy shit, I can't believe this is so good.
Yeah. Like, it was, like, everything that I was, like, I would build on it a little more, and then it was, like, even better to me. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was, like, buzzing working on this track, because I loved it so much. And especially that chorus, like, just that opening line of working myself into a sexy panic. I don't know why that line is so good to me, but I love that line so much.
Well, it just has, like, such an, like, obvious visceral reaction, I feel like. Like, you've been worked into a panic before, everyone has, but have you ever been worked into a sexy panic?
Yeah, and I think that, when I started working on, like, that kind of surprise concept that comes in the intro, I think that that line in the chorus really ties into that very well. Because it's, like, being, like, hyped up like that, and then you're like, I'm gonna have sex with the pilot. It's like, suddenly you're just in, like, this sexy panic of, I want this, and I have to do this, and I have all the energy in the world to do this. Yeah, the chorus is really good, and you wrote, I think, all but two lines of it. I think I changed, God, what lines did I,
It was the 80s comedian's joke on your lips, which was supposed to be like a thing about airline food. I don't know if I ever explained that fully.
No, I got that, but I don't know. I felt like I don't know.
It changed the energy a little bit.
Yeah. And it seemed like something that would have kind of gone over people's heads a little bit. Like, I feel like we would have had to explain that line at some point, and I was kind of like, eh. So I changed that line. And then there was one more that I changed. It was,
oh, I think it was actually the first line. I'm going stir crazy on this transatlantic. It was, you changed it to Pacific to Atlantic, which is like, it's basically, it's the same kind of thing. Like, just not transatlantic, but like cross country. So similar.
Yeah. And it tied into the theme a little more. Like, it was a more obvious, like, reference to it. But yeah, the line that I changed, it was in the second stanza of the chorus. It was the one about turbulence. I can't remember for the life of me what the original line was, but I changed that one too. But yeah,
that was the 80s comedian's one.
Oh yeah, okay, you're right. So it was the transatlantic and the 80s comedian, the 80s comedian joke one. Yeah, you're right. Okay. It's funny though, I wrote two of the tracks myself, but then the other four, every single one of those you wrote the chorus on, at least most of the chorus.
I like writing choruses, and you're, that's very just good, like, at it. How I go. I mean, You're good at writing verses.
Yeah, which is surprising, because I always have, like, first verses are such a pain in the ass for me, because it's like, how do I start this? And then the second verse, I always have that same issue of, like, how do I start this coming off of the chorus? But I feel like once I get that little start going, it's so easy. But yeah, anything that you co-write there, you usually always write the chorus. Most of it, if not all of it.
I like to have the chorus kind of done early, just so I can get a sense of what I am framing around, because I'm like very traditional about structure when it comes to writing pop music, especially. So having that as like your little safety net, little cushion to build upon, I think is very helpful.
Yeah. Anytime that you send me a chorus, it like immediately changes my frame of mind going into the verses. Because it gives me way more of a sense of direction of, okay, now what do I have to write that is going to fit this? Like, how am I going to connect into that? It has definitely changed, especially with Mile High Club. Like, it really changes the direction of how I go into things a lot of times.
Yes, I think it's particularly noticeable on there. So, any thoughts on the EP as a whole that you want to share?
You know, when I first wrote Yosemite, it was completely as a joke. Like, if you know, you know. It was meant to just be like a quick little joke. It wasn't meant to be anything super serious. But then, like, after it happened, I kind of thought, wait a minute, I like made a song, which is something that I've always wanted to do. And then I thought, I could do that again. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I could like make this a thing. Like, I could do this. And I got the idea of, originally I was like, okay, like I'm going to do like a full album around like Yosemite. Like, I'm going to expand on this world that I've suddenly created. And so I worked on some other stuff, and I made the one track that we referenced earlier that is set aside for now. You will see her at some point, but she was made right after Yosemite, and they're two completely different tracks. Lyrically and production wise, they're so completely different that I thought, these can't be together on the same project. Like, there's no way it would work. So we set aside that other song and thought, okay, we'll do a full album around this. Meanwhile, I wanted to do just like a quick little moment with Yosemite, you know, because I didn't want to just like leave her there and start working on a completely different thing. And we ended up making a 6-track EP together, and it's honestly, I love it. It's something I've always wanted to do, and like being able to do it, it like blows my mind that this is something that I've actually done, and I cannot wait until it is like out there, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think this would be a good time to mention that though this EP was written as one complete thing to be released as a single product, we do have plans for a re-release of sorts in the future.
Yeah, we really ran with this. Like, when we were working on Roadhead, I thought, okay, like, we're just going to do this one quick little thing, and then we'll start working on the album. But then, especially after we worked on Mile High Club and like the lyrical direction of that, we thought, okay, what if we did this again really quick? Like, what if we did like another little something? And like, conceptual direction of like everything that we've come up with so far, like, it's crazy. Like, Roadhead is the tip of the iceberg. Like, it's so crazy. I can't wait for like all of this to be done and out, and people will kind of realize we're batshit crazy.
Oh, for sure. I think they already knew to some degree, but like, we poured a lot of weird energy into this thing, and I think it shows.
Yeah, it's been a lot of blood, sweat, crack, tears, and just hard fucking work on all of this, and I couldn't be happier with how it's all turning out.
Mm-hmm. It's really fabulous.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
So before we wrap up, do you think we should give them any indication of, like, next steps after this?
I think we could at least say that there is a second EP in the works already. And at the time of recording this, I have one demo completely made up that is so chaotic. And there's really a lot of surprises in place. Like, Roadhead kind of has nothing on the level that we're stepping into now. There's collaborations, there's a sample of sorts, there's a lot of tricks up DJ Buttstuff Barbie's sleeve right now, and it's gonna be fun to get it all out there and see how people react, especially after this EP.
For sure. I think this will give people a good indication of what we are capable of, though maybe not like truly the scope of it, because I feel like we are somewhat limited by the concept of Roadhead as an EP.
Yeah. Like, I kept telling people when I was working on Roadhead, you know, Yosemite was a cute little start, but the rest of this has nothing on her. And I still think that's true. Yosemite was a cute little debut moment, and, you know, it was done as a joke, but like, everything else is definitely a step up from that. But then everything else that we have coming next is even more so a step up. Like, we just kind of keep building on what we can do. And we're just going to keep proving to people that like, this is kind of a powerhouse thing that we've got going right now. Like, we are absolutely in a full creative swing right now, and it's crazy what we're going to be able to come up with soon.
Yeah, I mean, like, the pretty much like 2 or 3 days after you sent me the final mixes of the EP, you were like, you know what? Let's make another EP.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I already had like I had like one, I had a track idea in mind that I came up with at like 4 a.m. and messaged you about and was like, hey, what if, I think that I actually like framed it with, would it be fucked up to do this? And you were like, no, this is perfect. And then
we
already had like another fun track that we had been talking about doing. And it's something that feels very correct to do. So I feel like it was just kind of natural that we were going to do a second EP, especially with where we had been talking about like a full album going. I feel like the stuff we're working on now definitely needed its own place.
Yes. And like, not to spoil it, but like I've told people that we have like multiple things in the works, of course, always.
Yeah, we can't ever just focus on one thing. I feel like we have too many ideas to ever sit down and just focus on one specific thing at any given time.
Absolutely. So with that, I think we will call it a day.
Yeah, I feel like if we keep going, we're gonna start spoiling shit. So
I think so.
Yeah.
So I hope the audience has enjoyed this little view into the world of Roadhead, and stream when it comes out next week.
Yes, please do. Please stream it. We've put a lot of hard work into it, and I'm so fucking excited for you guys to finally be able to hear all of it.
Absolutely. So maybe for the next EP release, we'll do another one of these special little bonus episodes talking about that. But for now, we're going to sign off. Bye. Bye.